This is Steve Schrock with another Franklin Matters radio show. These sessions share two segments of the Franklin Mass School Committee meeting held on Tuesday, November 24, 2020. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Some of the school committee and central office personnel were in the council chambers. The remainder of the committee was remote via conference bridge, along with the public, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. I split the two-hour meeting into two logical segments. First covers the opening through the superintendent's evaluation, about an hour and 18 minutes. Second picks up from the discussion-only items through the remainder of the meeting, about 42 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda and to my notes. The meeting packet folder will hold the superintendent's report, portrait of the graduate, information, probably the superintendent's evaluation. Those are usually posted to the folder the day after the meeting. Given the holiday weekend, they won't likely be available until later on Monday, November 30th, 2020. Let's listen to this segment of the school committee meeting, November 24, 2020.
Moving right along, discussion only items.
In your packet is a status update for some items related to the reopening of schools. On the front page, I've added a little bit of data for you, and we're continuing to kind of compile that, and we'll share that with you and the community. The first is the health metrics of the past 3 weeks of data. And we did, we are seeing kind of an increase, and Franklin has been in the yellow for the past couple of weeks based on the average daily cases per 100,000. We added to this status update, we added some tracking for you related to the positive cases in the Franklin Public Schools. Last week we had 9, and this week, well, this week is, don't count this week, these 2 days. In the past 2 weeks, the week of November 9th, we had 9 individuals, and the week of November 16th, we had 6. We thought that it would be important for the committee and the community to be aware about the impact of quarantine requirements as it relates to student attendance, the impact of the student attendance on, for example, hybrid instruction, and then also in particular, the number of staff who are in quarantine, either due to themselves being identified as close contacts or because they are caring for a child that has been identified as a close contact. And that number of 30 over those that two-week time frame shifts a little bit as people come into quarantine and then leave quarantine. But we are tracking that as well. And that may be one of our biggest areas of concern is if we have a skyrocketing number of staff who are required to quarantine or caring for somebody who is in quarantine, the impact of the operations of our building, that's probably one of our biggest pressure points and stressors at the moment is having enough staff to supervise in school. You can see the positive cumulative cases from the first day of school, September 16th, and then the active positive cases in the town of Franklin listed for you as well. I did note, and I'll elaborate a little bit here, that the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education's reported numbers are going to be lower than this. And that has to do with the pattern around which the positive cases are emerging. I would say by and large, and there may be a few exceptions here and there, but by and large, when we find out about a positive case, that person has typically been out of our building for a number of days, either because of the hybrid model, just sort of naturally, or because they are already in a quarantine situation and the test result has been pending. So the Department of Ed, when we report cases to the Department of Ed notes that, and if they had not been in the building in the past 7 days, they do not report that individual in the aggregate report that they post on their website. So that's why you might see inconsistency there. But as I said, a lot of the cases that are coming are individuals who have been out of the building for a period of time, which assists us with our contact tracing. And actually the number of close contacts being identified within the school is actually pretty limited based on individuals not being in the building, and then the 6 feet of distancing that we have in our classrooms, with a few exceptions. The rest of the report speaks to some of the open questions, as well as issues that we're grappling with or adjustments that we're making at this time. So there's a couple updates related to teaching and learning, particularly as we come into the end of quarter one and the end of the first trimester across the district. In terms of technology, I'm really pleased to report that our bandwidth appears to be holding up okay. There were a few issues reported throughout the week. We had a leadership team meeting at 8:15 one Tuesday morning, I think it was, and there was a little bit of a few glitches, probably as the entire district woke up and got online for morning meeting. But that being said, given the number of multiple users that are connecting at one time, and what I've realized this week in terms of the number of people who are using multiple devices for instruction, I think that the internet is holding up okay, even with the high school students coming in hybrid, which is good. We are still going to continue to pursue upgrading bandwidth to 10 gigs. I think that that will give us a more robust and reliable signal. Some of the issues that people have been experiencing may also be due to the processing speed of the old laptops, and we have started to issue the new laptops out to staff. So that should improve function as well. A couple highlights are included for you in terms of some positive things that are going on throughout the district, including the support our digital learning integrationists are doing with teachers, either formally during professional development days or through their newsletters and drop-in sessions. Whole child supports are summarized for you in terms of some of the things that are happening to support the whole child and to support some students that we are concerned about. There's a handful, at least at each elementary level, and team members are working to re-engage students who may be disengaged in the remote portion of their learning. We continue to be mindful of staff stress and well-being. It was another topic of the monitoring team when we met last week. I think that stress and well-being had been, and I think continues to be, a concern related to instruction. I don't think that teaching in the hybrid model is easy at all. It's incredibly challenging and incredibly difficult. But the increase in case numbers has people concerned, as does the Thanksgiving holiday, as well as plans people may have for winter break. And so again, I'll give an appeal for folks to heed the guidance of our health experts around limiting holiday travel and limiting the size of Thanksgiving gatherings. Health and safety, the changing guidance continues to be something that we adjust to, the changing guidance, including the change in the definition of close contacts, as well as the change in the quarantine requirement, just came up over the past 2 weeks. So we've shifted our practice there. And then I think one of the biggest areas that we're thinking strategically about is testing, and ways in which we might be able to do more testing in the district of staff and students. We're learning from colleagues in Wellesley and Medway who are doing some surveillance testing. There's also some diagnostic testing that's coming up across the state. We did not pursue the Department of Ed's pilot program with the Binax testing from Abbott Labs. When the information came out, our health professionals in the district had expressed some concerns, primarily as an antigen test with respect to its accuracy, although information has come out more recently that it is more accurate than I think some of the early antigen tests had been, and it does sound like those are improving in terms of diagnostic capability. But we're questioning the application of it. Again, based on the pattern that we're seeing, this is limited to those who are symptomatic in the school setting. I don't think we're seeing too much, too many symptomatic individuals. We do keep track of those things through our nurse's office. If people are symptomatic, we want them to stay home. So up until the recent period of time, you know, I think people had been pretty successful in terms of getting diagnostic tests outside of the district. That's not to say that we aren't necessarily pursuing that. We just didn't choose to opt into the Abbott Lab program. So we continue to look at and talk with resources about testing options, including screening individuals and then more diagnostic tools as well. And then lastly, there's just some ongoing issues and actions and things that are in process. We are making transfers between hybrid and BLA. The numbers had worked out, so we're able to shift and accommodate family requests there, which is good. And then we continue to explore possible kindergarten and grade one scenarios and would look to have more information for you at the next meeting.
How about questions, comments? I'll just go through. I'll go through a couple of times and then we'll certainly open to public comment, but I just want to make sure that school committee members have a chance to follow up. Questions, comments? I'll start with Jen.
Hi, thanks, Sarah, for the update. I guess my only thing is I'm a little disappointed that there's not any kind of update around the K and one. So I'm just curious as to what that may look like and what that timeline looks like for some information around that.
So I would look to have some scenarios for you at the next meeting on December 8th. We have had meetings as an administrative team. We've walked through the buildings. We have done some preliminary numbers related to transportation, but there's still more to work out there. So I would look to have something for you for the 8th.
So based on that timeline, when will we be looking at implementing a potential full for K and one if possible?
So I think that that's still to be determined. I want to present the various scenarios with the implications to the school committee so that you're aware of the different constraints that we have. But I think that our next step would be to sort of identify what possible scenarios would be.
And then just, is there some other options for additional support on those asynchronous days for those students who are having a difficult time? And I think it's, you know, a good percentage of those K and one students who are unable to independently navigate. Are there any additional supports that we can put in place on those asynchronous days while we kind of sift through this work?
We'd be happy to convene the group and talk through what some different strategies might be.
That would be great. Thank you.
All set, Jen?
Yep, thanks so much.
Okay, Tim? Did we lose Tim?
I think we did.
I'll come back to Tim and let me go to Judy and then we'll come back to Tim. Judy?
Okay. The majority of us have only been here for 1 year of our 2 year term. And I have received the most emails, the most phone calls, the most communication ever relative to kids going back to school full time and kids being in school learning. I know these are difficult times, but other school systems around us are going back, having the kids go back to school. I know you're looking into this and you're working on it, but there's an awful lot of smart people in the school administration department, and somebody's going to be able to find a way to get these kids back in school learning as soon as they can possibly do it. Thank you.
All set, Judy. Yep. MJ?
Nothing at this time.
All righty. Janice?
Yeah, go ahead. So on August 7th, during our site visits, we were told the district was beginning a project to upgrade the HVAC to the UVGI systems. Now, 3 months later, there's a supply chain issue, and the school's recommended in the facilities analysis to possibly close are not receiving the UVGI. Are HEPA filter units comparable to UVGI? I just remember being very impressed when Mr. D'Angelo spoke about it at Davis Thayer during their site reviews. So I'm kind of nervous to hear that UVGI isn't going into all of, you know, where was the breakdown? Because I know in August we talked about it, and now all of a sudden we're not getting it.
Sure. So there's been a couple updates since August around HVAC and UVGI indicating different stages of the project. And so it went out to bid in multiple stages. I think what's happening, like many of the supplies and materials, plexiglass, PPE, Chromebooks, we're sort of chasing the supply chain and chasing with the demand. So the project was broken down into, I think, five or six different chunks based on how the HVAC systems are set up. And the high school is very unique because it's kind of all centralized. And so it's a simpler installation and a simpler project to complete. Mm-hmm. The other buildings have, in the classrooms, they have unit ventilators. And then in other spaces, they have these large units that tie offices, libraries, and other kind of spaces together with the large units. Those large units were phases unto themselves, and then the unit ventilators were phases unto themselves. So the supply chain issues continue to get worse. Mm-hmm. And so at one point in time, it was on the table to do all of the large units in the various schools K to eight. That might not be able to be done because we're also bumping up against a spending deadline issue of December 30th. There had been a little bit of rumblings about whether or not that spending deadline would be pushed out, in which case, you know, it just would create a little bit, the project could still go forward, but would be delayed. And I think that the UV project in general is still on the table, but it's just the timeframe is being pushed out across the district. Mm-hmm. I think that the plan B, which is the air purifier units, which would go into all of the classrooms. So it would be all of the elementary and middle schools at the classroom level with the unit ventilators would have the HEPA air purifiers. I feel really comfortable with that solution. The specs on the item that we ordered has multiple air changes in an hour. And so it really is circulating the air in the room pretty effectively. I know that this is a solution that is being employed, I couldn't say industry-wide, but when I went to the dentist and I had my teeth cleaned, there was a portable air purifier in the hygienist's office as the solution to promote good ventilation in that area. We would put these purifiers into classrooms based on square footage. And so each classroom would have more than one based on its size in order to accommodate that square footage. Mike D'Angelo, Lucas, and I both attended a webinar with the Department of Education, and a couple very impressive, very smart people who were experts in the field talking about all things ventilation, leaving me feeling even more comfortable too with our overall HVAC system. And for example, the threshold of carbon dioxide that we maintain, which I think ours is between 2 and 600. And they're saying anything below 800 is where to aim. So we're below that, and that's a good proxy for the amount of ventilation that's happening. So I feel really comfortable with the air purifiers. And should we be unable to put the large units in because of timing, the office spaces and the libraries would also get the air purifiers as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll come back. Yeah. Oh, do you have another? No, come back. I'll come back to you. Yep. Is Tim back?
I do not see him.
No. Is he there?
Nope.
No. Okay. Elise, sorry.
Just a question, Sarah. I think I heard you say something about the transition from hybrid to VLA, that it just worked out. So does that mean the numbers just, like, it was 10 that went this way and 10 that went that way and they canceled each other out? It's like almost sounds too good to be true, because I thought that that could be a huge disaster if there were, you know, 50 second graders going to VLA or something like that. Can we have a little more details about the numbers and the transitions?
Sure. I don't have all of the grade level numbers in front of me. We have, I think, a net of 2 additional students going to the VLA from elementary hybrid. But the numbers did work out where we have some students coming into the hybrid setting and some students going into VLA, and no section. I know kindergarten and grade 2 at VLA were of concern, but we're not seeing any pressure there with students adding in.
Wow, I think that's really good news, because that could have been pretty disastrous. So good thing, you know, things worked out there. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Denise, did you have a?
I did.
Go ahead.
Did we have any update on subs? I know that we've been trying to hire subs. I mean,
we are trying to hire subs. I know that we have hired some additional people. I think Mr. Hanna's email that went out to the high school did generate some interest and some people coming forward wanting to substitute. We have college students returning for break who are applying, and we are making sure are healthy and can work with our students. But we have some college students returning that we plan on using as subs for the time being. I know, hired one sub who took another job the next day. So I think it still continues to be a bit of a struggle and a bit of a challenge, but we are trying to be creative. Mm-hmm. I know that there's also been some outreach with some student teachers. One that Joyce recently received and has been communicating about. So we're trying to be creative where we can be. But we are always looking for, I think, more adults to help supervise.
Thank you. Tim back yet?
Mm-hmm. Tim is back.
Tim, any, Tim, questions, comments?
Yeah, sorry about that. I was-
It's all right, go ahead.
Went from computer to phone to computer. I was gonna actually ask about the K-1. So Jen kind of covered off on my questions. Appreciate that.
Okay, that's good. Sarah, I just had, I was just gonna ask you about, all we've been hearing for the last couple of weeks is the potential impact of gatherings around the holidays, particularly Thanksgiving. I know a number of local high schools have gone remote already. We're staying hybrid at Franklin High, right? We're keeping our kids in school in the, you know, we're not going remote, right?
Yeah, so I feel like our local health data, and in consultation with the health department, our local health data would continue to support hybrid. And I would be very reluctant to preemptively switch.
We want them in school as much as possible. All we've been hearing is, so we're monitoring it very carefully. And I had one other question. And again, this may be, you know, whether or not providing support from the school committee, but staff, teachers are, in my estimation, I don't know if anyone agrees with me, they are frontline workers. You know, we have to protect them just as we do our healthcare workers. Do we have, you know, sufficient, and if it's resources, or what do we need to do to make sure that, in terms of like quality masks and that they have the PPE that they need in order to feel safe, that we're doing all we can, you know, particularly in situations when they're doing cafeteria duty, or, you know, that when kids take, we just want to make sure that they feel secure, because they're on the front lines, and that's sort of a crucial thing. And anything we can do, again, that's something, you know, that what we can do. I don't know. Is there, do we have it? Or do we, you know, help it, you know, help me understand that?
Sure. So we have added to our PPE supply to
make sure that that staff has PPE that leaves them feeling comfortable, even if it isn't necessarily part of the Department of Ed's formula about which staff get which PPE. Mm-hmm. And so, we have some additional face shields, for example, that staff can request and use. We also, Paula ordered KN95 masks as well. N95 masks are reserved for our health professionals, but KN95s provide an extra measure of protection, and staff members could choose those masks. Particularly lunch duty is one that comes up, and so I think that helps. And then I feel reassured with the air purifiers coming in, and the after seeing the specifications and the amount of air exchange that can happen in a short period of time. I think that will also help, particularly as we head into the winter months where the windows might not be open as much. There's more inclement weather, and the heat's on, and that changes the way ventilation occurs in any given space.
And I think just one last comment, I think it's important to note that what you're doing, we happen to be sitting in a meeting today about testing, surveillance testing, what they're doing in Wellesley, what they're doing in Medway, and working with our state rep, and now Jake Ockerfloss, who's a representative in the United States Congress representing our district, Jamie Helen, Tom Mercer, everybody coming together to see what we can do in terms of this surveillance testing, pool testing, because any expert will say once we get the testing mm-hmm. in place, then we can feel much more secure about doing everything that we need to do to get kids fully back. And Sarah's been an integral part of that conversation and working with people. So I think people need to know that that's out there. I you mentioned it, but I just wanted to reiterate that that's an important step, don't you think, Sarah, in terms of what's
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think it's really critical in terms of, having as many students in person as we can. That surveillance testing asymptomatic individuals is going to be key.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you for that, because you're part of that thing. So going back to the committee again, I just want to make sure before, if there's anyone has public comment, I don't want to leave anybody out, but I want to make sure every committee member's had a chance to comment, question. Everyone all set? So then at this point, obviously, we always want to make sure that we leave room for public comment. But again, with public comment per our policy, it is we ask that you, certainly to make a statement. We're not going to kind of engage in dialogue. That's the policy relative to public comment. And we ask only that if you like to make a public comment, that you identify yourself and limit it to no more than three minutes. I do use a timer, not to be rude, or just because we want to make an opportunity for anyone who wants to speak. So if there is anyone who would like to make public comment at this time, we certainly want to hear from you. And I'll let you, Denise, if you see anyone.
I do not see.
Oh, I see a hand.
Gail Melko.
Go ahead.
Say I am an ethnic chess teacher, so I appreciate.
We can't hear you. You've gone up. We've lost you.
Nope.
It's gone.
Hi, can you hear me?
Now we can hear you. Go ahead. Yep.
I apologize. I am an FAP teacher, so I was very excited to hear from the students that they were having a positive experience back. I also just want to reiterate, I am happy to be back and happy to have kids, but the workload is a lot right now. I will say that it was a lot before we went back to hybrid, and it's even more. Like, as I'm sitting here listening to you, I'm also grading. And so the workload and the preparing for being able to do both hybrid and remote, as I am working on, like, I'm live every day with the kids. I'm doing synchronously with both kids in the building and at home. And the workload to do it is just a lot. And I just wanna make that aware that the time we're taking trying to do grading and emails and trying to connect with kids has been a lot. And it is a conversation in my house of, are you done work yet? And I'm like, unfortunately, no, I'm not. So thank you.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Can you see anyone?
I do not see anyone else.
All right. Okay. Should anyone, we can certainly go back to that. Now we go to, we did discussion only, information matters. And let's see, budget subcommittee. Just remind everyone, we do have budget workshop on Tuesday, December 1st from 6 to 7:30 p.m. And as Dr. Hearn mentioned, the budget subcommittee will be meeting with the finance committee on December 15th at 6:30 p.m. And now we go to community relations.
All right. Community relations, I'll be looking to schedule a meeting with the subcommittee after Thanksgiving. For MASC, the next lunch series is Friday, December 4th on parliamentary procedure. And that's all I've got.
All right, very good. How about policy, MJ?
You're muted.
I know. I had to get to the button. Come on.
Be quicker.
Thursday, December 17th at 6 o'clock is our next meeting.
Thanks, MJ. Facilities analysis, Elise?
Yeah, so we haven't had a meeting since my last update on the 10th, but in the meantime, Dr. Hearn and I completed a podcast interview with Steve Sherlock of Franklin Matters, my first. She is a seasoned veteran, and I was hoping for like a bloopers reel. But it's out, it's ready to go. It will be ready to go at the end of this week, and then on Franklin Public Radio during the week of December 7th.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know, right? I can't believe I did it.
Good for you. Now that's great. See, the more we can communicate and get out to them, that's great. That's great you're doing that.
Yeah. We talked about our progress up to this point and then our process moving ahead, which you all know because I tell you every single week. Just a reminder, we're currently seeking community perspectives through our questionnaire, which was disseminated through the school committee newsletter, the Town of Franklin blog, FPS Facebook, Twitter, went out in school community via regroup emails too. They're printed copies in the municipal building. If you haven't filled it out, please do so and tell your Franklin friends and neighbors to fill it out too. We're hoping to get as many perspectives as we can. It's open until December 2nd, and community members can also contact us via subcommittee email link on our DT Facilities Analysis webpage. We're working on scheduling a meeting at the beginning of December.
Thank you very much. How about Joint PCCs, Judy?
And I have a question.
Oh, go ahead, MJ.
Sorry. All right, Elise, you said that the questionnaires are available at the town hall. Can you confirm that the town hall is not locked up?
Somebody that works there can. Town chambers?
I can confirm that the municipal building is open on the first floor by appointment, and the questionnaires are downstairs on the main table.
So somebody has to make an appointment to go pick up a questionnaire.
They could come in and get the questionnaire, but
okay.
People in who work here are meeting folks by appointment downstairs if needed.
Got it. Thank you.
Thanks, MJ.
Thank you, MJ.
Substance Abuse Task Force, we had a great meeting today. Lucas, do you want to just kind of, just because it's such a comprehensive, such good work, and just to maybe give a little overview? And
Sure. So our meeting was today, and our next meeting will be on December 22nd. Today, we focused on just shoring up our goals for the year. I'm really excited about the work in the subgroups that we have focused on mental health. Focused on working to really bring people together. We talked about a community panel and having multiple folks from different walks of life and different experiences to talk about substance abuse through a facilitated conversation. So that'll be in the works, hopefully to plan for in the winter. Some of our other subgroups worked on vaping cessation and diversion. So trying to look at it from a proactive standpoint to continue that work with students, but then also have a plan for students who do end up making those choices. And when we learn about that, we're partnering with the SAFE Coalition, as I've mentioned in previous meetings, but the work is starting to really shape up, and we're starting to dig into how that relationship can work to support students directly. So we're kind of hashing that out with our group. We'll be offering our counselors within the school some training from SAFE, and they use a variety of research-based programs, such as the Stanford model for vaping cessation, for example. So working with our counselors directly to help train them in some of these substance abuse, but then also partnering with them so that we can partner with the professionals at SAFE to help support our students who do struggle with addiction or substance abuse. So those are just a few pieces from that committee that are happening, and we're shoring up those goals to send out. And I'll be sure to continue to update the community and the committee. You can expect more promotional pieces where the community can join and participate in some of these events that we hope to put on.
Yeah, great, thank you. School Wellness Advisory?
We met on November 17th.
Mm-hmm.
The nutrition group has released some helpful tips on social media. Be on the lookout for some more info. I know the physical group is working on some fun challenges to keep kids active. And finally, we're working on mental health awareness offerings at both the middle and high school levels. And our next meeting is December 15th.
Can I add to that, Anne?
Oh, yes, go ahead. I forgot you.
So yes, the physical activity group, we're not just thinking of fun activities for students, but for staff and families and community members and school committee members too. So every month we're gonna have a monthly physical activity challenge. And in December, it's going to be Give 2020 the Boot, and it's all focused on boot camp type activities. And Anne Marie Tracy designed us so quickly a most beautiful calendar with all the links, and this has really been an amazing group effort, and we turned this thing around really quickly. So we're hoping that as many people in the community as possible will be taking part. I think our hashtag is #SWACFitnessChallenge. And so we're going to hopefully do one every month, and this is the first one. So spread the word.
Okay, is there a logo? We'll vote on it. No, just kidding. join PCCs. Judy, I forgot. I skipped over it. I didn't mean to. Go ahead.
That's okay. That was a good thing for you to do. We've had the joint PCC meetings have been on Tuesdays, the same day as the school committee meeting. And this week they changed it from Tuesday at 4 to, I thought, to Tuesday at 10. But unbeknownst to me, they changed it to Monday at 10. So naturally, I wasn't there. So I will get the information from Denise, and I will share it with you all and myself for the next meeting.
You got it. Thanks. Thanks, Judy. And then the Racial and Social Justice Committee has not met. We're waiting to get a date on that one. So I think, did I cover all of the things? I think I did. Okay. New business, Dr. Hearn.
We've got the budget workshop, as you mentioned, yes, on December 1st. At the next meeting, I will probably present some goals for the school committee's consideration based on the evaluation, bring forward some scenarios for kindergarten and first grade full and in person. In December, whether it's the 8th or 22nd, we'll start taking a look at the next school year's calendar. So that is coming up soon. And I have been in touch with Diane Plouffe, the director of music and performing arts and fine arts. And she will be joining us and highlighting some things from that department for the year.
Excellent. Consent agenda?
I wanted to note, I did write down Jen's note about the athletic director. So I just wanted to kind of note that. Consent agenda. I recommend approval of the minutes from the November 10th, 2020 school committee meeting as detailed. I recommend approval of the budget transfers as detailed. I recommend acceptance of a check for $10,000 from the Franklin Education Foundation for in-house enrichment, supplemental supplies, and supplemental curriculum materials as detailed. I recommend acceptance of a check for $150 from the Parmenter PCC for supplemental supplies as detailed. I recommend acceptance of a check for $320 from Franklin Music Parents for in-house enrichment as detailed. And I recommend acceptance of a check for $3,500 from the Franklin Education Foundation for supplemental supplies as detailed.
Okay. Is there a motion to accept the consent agenda?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Okay, let's do a roll call vote accepting.
Oh, I have a question.
Oh, certainement. Sorry, go ahead.
What is the $10,000 going to be covering?
So the $10,000, I'm glad that you asked, because I would have liked to have included this in the superintendent's report as well. The $10,000 from the Franklin Education Foundation is applied to Franklin Public Schools for use across the district, mm-hmm. In recognition of us being in a different kind of year. And you know, they're still carrying their grant program from last year into this year. So they have kindly donated $10,000 for us to use for things like curriculum materials, supplemental supplies, recognizing that this is an unusual year. So we don't have anything kind of immediately you know, coming to mind, but we do appreciate the additional support from the Ed Foundation, because we know that we're adding educational software and additional materials to support students in the hybrid setting. I know Joyce has been in touch with the Ed Foundation a bit about it. I don't know if you want to add anything.
Just want to really thank them for their flexibility this year and their support. It's a really generous amount, and I know that we definitely need it and can use it wisely and well for our students. So a lot of thanks to them.
Thank you.
Any other further questions on, we have a motion and a second. So seeing no further discussion, vote will come on the motion. Jen?
Yes,
Jen there? Yeah, I think she said yes. Okay, I heard you. Tim? Yes, okay. Judy?
Yes.
Okay, Mary, MJ?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Elise?
Yeah.
And Ann, yes, okay. Motion carries. All right, now we go to payment of bills. I did review the bills and they are in order. Jen, how about payroll?
Payroll and payroll's in order.
Okay. So I guess at this point, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. I know people want to stay longer, but is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, so now we're going to do a roll call to adjourn. Jen?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
And MJ?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Elise?
Yes.
And Ann, yes, motion, meeting is adjourned.
Have a good Thanksgiving, everybody.
Oh, yes,
you too. Happy Thanksgiving.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.